and with one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It all began as a choice. As some of you know, if you remember St. Martin's, I'm not only a great fan of Max Lucado, but he and I have become friends and prayer partners over the years. We actually had a discussion over the last few days about the preaching task before us over the next few days, and I've always been drawn to the way in which Max describes God's grace and God's many initiatives, God's choice to reach out to us with his love through creation and through redemption. So kind of blending some thoughts from Scripture and my own and some out of conversation with Max, I'm going to offer you this little Good Friday homily as a precursor to the meditations that we're about to hear from our choir. Brennan Manning tells a story about an Irish priest who was traveling the countryside, and he sees an old peasant sitting by the side of the road. And when he gets closer, he realizes the peasant is praying, and the priest is impressed, and he says to the peasant, "You must be quite close to God." And the peasant looks up from his prayers and thinks for a moment, and then he says, "Yes, yes, he's very fond of me." What if we saw ourselves through God's eyes? Our creation, began as a choice by God to give life and to share life. This morning, we unveiled in our narthex a beautiful Baroque era painting depicting the fifth day of creation. It's on the cover of your bulletin there, and as you leave tonight, we have some cards if you'd like to pick that up. It'll describe more about the painting. We don't know the identity of the artist, but the inspiration, the source is actually an engraving by Joachim Sadler. And the painting is based upon a design by the Flemish painter Martin de Vos, who died in 1603. So as you look at that painting, whether you leave tonight or come for worship again, know that you're looking on something that's been around since before the birth of our nation. In this painting, we see springing to life the fish and fowl from Genesis 1, 20 through 23. And some of the creatures you won't recognize there, and frankly, we have no idea what all those early finned and feathered critters, as we call them in my home, looked like. Scientists to this day are still uncovering fossils of creatures never before seen. This painting is of what the Bible describes as one day before God's creation of man and woman on day six. It's a day when God's heart must have been exceedingly full. Fish and fowl, unlike humans, are innocent by nature. And they live not so much by choice as they do by instinct. So what you see here is a day, this fifth day, when actually innocence filled the earth. Now we, you and I, on the other hand, have been given an incredible gift by God. And that is choice. What did the first humans do with that choice? And how did God respond to our gift of choice? So for that, if you'll allow me, I'm going to go back a little bit further to God's first choice. So it began with a deliberate decision, an informed move. He didn't have to do it, but he chose to. We don't know when he decided to do it. We can't know because we weren't there, and time was not there. When and where did not exist, nor did tomorrow or yesterday, because there was no time. God chose to create. In the beginning, God, the Bible tells us, God created. Bereath, Genesis. With that one choice, history began. Existence became immeasurable. And out of nothing came light. And out of light came day. And then sky, and then earth. And then God really got to work. Canyons were carved Oceans were dug, mountains erupted out of flatland, stars were flung, and our sun became one of millions. Our galaxy became just one of thousands. Planets through gravity were tethered to suns that roared through space at breakneck speed. And stars blazed with a heat that could melt our planet away in seconds. And the hand behind it was mighty. God was mighty. And with his might, he created. As naturally as a bird sings and a fish swims, God created. Just as an artist cannot paint and a runner cannot not run, God could not not create. And so from the ageless palette of the divine and ageless artist came incredible splendors. Before there was a person to see any of it, creation was pregnant with wonder. Flowers didn't just grow, they blossomed. Chicks just weren't born, they hatched. Salmon did not just swim, they leapt. And there was no mundaneness in his universe. And God must have loved it. Because, you know, creators relish creating. And can you imagine how much fun God must have had? Hippo, you won't walk, you'll waddle. Look, panda, I'll make you a mask. Come here, giraffe, let's stretch that neck out a little bit. And on and on and on God went, giving oceans their blue and trees their sway and frogs their leap. He was mighty and creative, and all out of his choice, out of his decision to share and to love. Water must be wet. You can't take the wet out of water. Fire must be hot. You can't take the heat out of fire and still have fire. And in the same way, you can't take love out of this one who lived before time and still have him exist because he was and is love. No bitterness, no evil, no cruelty. Explore every corner, look at every angle, go to the beginning of every decision, and all you'll find is love. Flawless, passionate, vast, pure love. And as a result, an elephant has a trunk with which to drink. And a kitten has a mother from which to nurse. And a kangaroo has a pouch in which to grow. A bird has a nest in which to sleep. A camel has a hump or two to carry his own water supply. The same God who was mighty enough to carve the Grand Canyon was tender enough to put hair on the legs of the Matterhorn fly to keep it warm. The same force that provides symmetry to the planets guides the lips of a newborn to its mother's breast. And because of who he was and what he did, he created paradise. A sinless sanctuary, a haven before fear, a home before there was even one human dweller. No time, no death. No hurt. And then when he was almost through, he knew and he said it was good. But it was not enough. God's greatest work had not yet been completed. One final masterpiece was needed before he could stop. And you look to the canyons, you see the Creator's splendor. You touch the flowers, you see his delicacy, listen to the thunder and hear his power, but gaze on his greatest creation and you witness all three and more. So let's just imagine for just a moment what might have happened on that day. He places one scoop of clay upon another and there form a lifeless figure on the ground, and all the garden's inhabitants pause to witness. Hawks hovered, emus stretch, Trees bow. Butterflies pause on petals. And God says, you will love me, nature, because I made you that way. You'll obey me, universe, because you were designed to do so. You'll reflect my glory, skies, for that's how I created you. But this one will be like me. This one will be able to choose. And all were silent as the Creator reaches into himself and removes something yet unseen, a seed choice. And creation stands in silence and gazes upon that lifeless form, and an angel speaks. But what if he chooses not to love, the Creator says? Come and I'll show you. And unbound by today, God and angel walked into the realm of tomorrow. And God says, here, see the fruit of the seed of choice, both sweet and bitter. And the angel gasped at what she saw, spontaneous love and voluntary devotion and chosen tenderness. Never had the angel seen anything like these. And she feels the love of the Adams, and she hears the joy of Eve and her daughters, and she sees the food and the burdens shared, and she absorbs the kindness and marvels at the warmth. Heaven's never seen such beauty, my Lord, the angel says. Truly, this is your greatest creation. Ah, but you've only seen the sweet. He says, now witness the bitter. And a stench envelops the air. And the angel turns in horror and proclaims, what is that? And the Creator spoke only one word, selfishness. And the angel stood speechless as they passed through centuries of repugnance. Never had she seen such filth, rotten hearts, and ruptured promises, and forgotten loyalties, and children of creation wandering blindly in lonely labyrinths of selfishness and self-centeredness. And this is the result of choice, the angel says. Yes, God says. And they will forget you. Yes, God says. And they will reject you. Yes, the Creator says. And they will never come back. And some will, and some will not, the Creator says. I'm giving them the freedom to choose. So what will it take for them to listen? And the Creator walks on in time, further and further into the future, until he stands by a tree fashioned into a cradle. Even he could smell the hay that would surround his own flesh. And with another step into the future, he paused before another tree, and it stood alone, a stubborn ruler on a bald hill. The trunk was thick and the wood strong. And soon it would be cut and trimmed and mounted on a stony brow of another hill. And soon he himself would be hung on it. And he felt the wood rub against a back he did not yet wear. Will you go down there? The angel says. I will. Is there no other way? There is not. Would it not be easier not to give them the freedom of choice? It would, the Creator speaks. But to remove the choice is to remove the love. They look around the hill and they see into the future three figures hung on three crosses, arms spread, heads fallen. They moan with the wind. Men clad in soldiers' garb sat on the ground near the trio. They play games in the dirt and cast lots for his clothes. Men clad in religion think they have protected their God. Women clad in sorrow huddled at the foot of the hill and speechless, faces tear-streaked and eyes downward. His mother does not leave. And all heaven stands to fight, and all nature rises to rescue, and all eternity pauses to protect, but the Creator gives no command. It must be done, he says. And then he withdraws. And as he does, he hears words he himself one day would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he wrenches at tomorrow's agony. The angel speaks once more and says, it would be less painful. And the Creator interrupts softly, but it wouldn't be love. So together they step back into the garden. And the Maker looks down on his clay creation. And a monsoon of love swells up within him. He had died for the creation before he had made him. God's form bent over the sculptured face and breathed. Dust stirred on the lips of the new one. The cheeks fleshened. Finger moves, chest rises, cracking the red mud. The eyes fluttered and then opened. But more incredible than the moving of the flesh was the stirring of the spirit. And those who could see it gasp. Maybe it was the wind who said it first. Maybe the star saw that moment and it's made that star blink ever since. Maybe it was left to the angel to whisper, it looks like, it appears so much like him. And the angel wasn't speaking about his face or his features or the body. He was looking at the soul. It's eternal, gasped another angel nearby. Within the man, God had placed a divine seed, a seed of himself. The God of all might had created earth's mightiest. The Creator had created not a creature, but another Creator. And the one who had chosen to love had created one who can love in return. And he said, it is very good. God created you because he loves you. And as any loving parent would, he gives you the freedom to say and do whatever you want, to be whatever you want to be. And that freedom even means that you can betray him. You and I, however, were created to belong to the one who bought our freedom with his life. You belong to him. Your rightful place is at his side. It is not slavery to this world that restores us to who we were created to be, to the place we were meant to live. Instead, it is bonding to him that puts all the pieces in their rightful place. puts you in your rightful place. And your rightful place is in God's home, at God's side, within His masterpiece. Today is a reminder of the lengths to which God has gone to return you to innocence. Carrying His own cross, they went out to the place of the skull called Golgotha, and there they crucified Him. He could have said no to all of that, but love incarnate cannot stop loving. And so God Himself, made a choice to be faithful to His creation and to be faithful to you. He gave up His own life, that if you choose to give your life back to Him, you would return to the innocence from which humankind was born in paradise. Today is a day to meditate on the hope there is in the cross of Jesus, the hope that carries us from where we are now back to creation itself, pure, unfettered relationship with the Creator of all things. Give yourself to Him. He's already given Himself to you. Before long, you'll find a smile on your face and a newness in your heart that means but one thing. My God is very fond of me. So very fond of me. He loves me so. And in that love, you'll become the self you were meant to be, a child of God. What incredible joy God must have experienced in those first days of creation. What joy it brings to Him when we choose to return to Him, however, whenever we do it. Yesterday in this holy space, we said farewell in a memorial service to one of our members, Esther Glover. Some of you were at that service. Some of you knew Esther, certainly heard her name prayed for as she battled cancer for several years in this place. And as we left the service and went into the reception next door, her nurse came up to me, her nurse who was with her at the last, and she said, "I need to tell you something about Esther." Now, if you knew Esther, she was strong. She had a great sense of humor. She was opinionated. She would ask me some really hard questions. She liked me to call her Queen Esther, after the Hebrew queen, remembered in the Bible. And her nurse told me that Esther asked her a few days before she died, she said, Does what you witness at that moment, when people die, did they die peacefully? And the nurse told me, she said to Esther, "Well, I've seen all kinds of death. I've seen tragic death and slow death and unexpected death." And Esther pressed. She said, "Yeah, but do they die peacefully?" And the nurse said, "When they have faith, they do." And Esther thought for a moment, and she smiled, and she said, "I'm good." We call this Good Friday not because we're good, but because God chose in the person of Jesus Christ to give His life so that we could be good yet again. God chose to create. He chose to redeem. He chooses to love. And now the choice is ours.